Reconvene the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting. Order. All right, moving along now under Community Development and Planning, item number 16. This is discussion of possible action. The first reading of ordinance number 15-269.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to recuse myself from this item from discussion under voting as I have a pecuniary interest in the land that is the subject of this item.
Thank you, Mr. Gilman.
And I think I'm prepared to take a lead on this. And Mr. Morris will fill in a blank or two on behalf of Austin, who is otherwise committed. This is purely a first reading. Bob will give you the fill in the legal blanks. But this is meant to be a first reading. In between first reading and second reading, there will be some changes we anticipate. Not dramatic, but and this involves the 600 acres plus or minus that were in the boundary line adjustment for try. So you're looking at me like I've got
you.
Okay. So, consider this only as a first reading, and any comment that you have or the public has will certainly be welcome. But we're also focused on a few fundamental changes in this and working with Mr. Morris and with Mr. Sater and the TRI team.
This is Story County's newest 600 acres of real estate.
That's really the generic version. I defer to Mr. Morris if he has more to fill in.
The only thing that we need to do otherwise is read the ordinance by title, and then if you'd like, I could do that.
That'd be great. Thank you. Counselor?
Robert Morris for the record. This is an ordinance amending Story County Code Title 17 zoning text paren zoning ordinance by adding Chapter 17.39 IC industrial commercial zone and other properly related matters.
Commissioner McGuffey, do you have any comments or discussion on
this? Yes, I do want to make a comment. I understand this is the first reading, and there will be changes. I did read this document, and the only concern I really have is that this relates to light industrial and commercial use, which is going to just kind of headed for that new section of property along the river. Under light industrial use, in the items checked, it shows chemical and oil storage. I would oppose that. Further, the light industrial is normally located near major arterial roads, so that would be I-80 and USA Parkway. We really don't want to be storing chemicals down by the river. So I think there is, in further reading, it is noted that there are some chemical storage provisions in the heavy industrial areas. So I've voiced my opinion that we should move that from the light industrial section to the heavy industrial. That's all.
Well, I'd have a question regarding that. If perhaps when that land is being developed, if there is to be a truck stop installed down there, wouldn't they be storing oil and chemicals on site?
No, I'm not talking about a truck stop. They're going to store motor oils, stuff like that, yes. But I'm talking about companies storing solvents, ketones, cleaning solvents, stuff like that. Because it's quite common in the industrial manufacturing world, and you have to have the fire department regulates that with contained storage for those.
Would it be distinguished for the different type of chemicals?
It can be through different uses. And again, I apologize that Austin is not here. These are specifically the concerns that Commissioner McGuffey was kind enough to share with Austin. Austin's been working with both Mr. Morris, myself, and definitely Mr. Sater to make sure that we're
don't want a company like Sierra Chemical going in there and stockpiling a bunch of chemicals for customers.
Amen.
I'm not talking about business.
Yeah, understood. So we're working through the specific definition of these. And again, this area was, in my opinion, and again, I'm not the developer. The developer can't really speak, I guess, right now. But, you know, this is prime commercial. This is not meant to be a storage farm or a tank farm or or a chemical dump or anything like that. So we're specifically going back through in between first readings and second readings to get that in there. And I can tell you that Tri's Council Bob Sater did say, consider that done. We'll work through that between first and second.
Very good. All right. Do you have public comment on this? Hearing none, call for a motion to approve the first reading of Ordinance 15-269.
I'll make a motion to approve the first reading of Ordinance number 13-269.
I think it was 15-269. Commissioner McGuffin?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Light's not good here. So it looks like a 3 to me. Okay, I'll correct my motion. I'll make a motion to approve the first reading of Ordinance number 15-269.
I'll second your motion. Been moved to second to approve the first reading of Ordinance 15-269. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 17.
I can again take lead on that, Mr. Chairman, if you wish, and I'm sure Mr. Morris will want that read into the record as well, and I believe Commissioner Gilman can speak out on this because this universally applies to the county and not unique to Tri. At least that was staff's recommendation to me to give to you. It looks like our council agrees. This is basically, this codifies updates to our zoning. Really across the board. So, and again, this is just a first reading. However, I'm assured that this is really prepared to go. I don't know of any material changes anticipated between first and second readings at this stage. Of course, we'll be, sensitive to any public input, commission input, both today and during the process. But this does position us to codify and enact the updates, including historic overlay districts, all the uses that are here countywide. Billboards are included in there, signs and billboards, a number of things.
There's a lot there. They've been working on this for how many years now? So it's a lot.
2 years. Since Bob Morris.
3 years? Gone. Yeah. Yeah. Commissioner McGuffey.
No, I read it, and believe it or not, I read this. it was mostly corrections and rewording kind of stuff. It looks great. Cleaning it up very well.
Yeah. Commissioner Gilman?
My comment is I've attended many, most of, perhaps the meeting. I feel like Austin has done a yeoman's job. Incredible. Diligent. There have been a lot of community input. At the various meetings, a lot of specialized community interests considered, and so my hat's off to Austin for a job well done, and I think it is ready to move forward.
And I'm betting that Mr. Morris will want the title read into the record since this is a first reading.
Do you have any public comment on this? Yes.
I think you're much better at this.
I think I am.
This thing did not tab out well. Bob, I would suggest that Mr. Morris probably be in good position to do it. We've kind of tabbed this thing.
Come on, Bob.
Yeah.
Let's hear from you.
Robert Morris for the record. The title is An Ordinance Amending Story County Code Title 17 Zoning to update the procedures and the requirements of the title by amending the following chapters. Ordinance title page Chapter 17.03, Administrative Provisions, 17.06, Nonconforming Uses, 17.08, Zones Generally, 17.10, Definitions, 17.12, General Provisions, 17.15, P, Public Zone, 17.16, R-1, Single Family Residential Zone, 17.20, R-2, Multiple Family Residential Zone, 17.24, A, Agricultural Zone, 17.28, C, Commercial Zone, 17.30, CR, Commercial Residential Zone, 17.32, F, Forestry Zone, 17.34, I-1, Light Industrial Zone, 17.35, I-2, Heavy Industrial Zone, 17.36, I-3, Heavy Industrial Zone, 17.38, IS, Special Industrial Zone, 17.40, E, State Zone, 17.44, SPR, Special Planning Review Zone, 17.48, Historic Overlay District, 17.56, PUD, Planned Unit Development, 17.76, NR, Natural Resources Zone, 17.84, Signs and Billboards, 17.92, Mineral Exploration, Mining and Extraction, and Other Property Related Matters. I would just briefly say that I, too, have read through it fairly carefully. I would just say that Mr. Osborne has managed to slip a couple of shells back in, which I'll have to talk to him about. But otherwise, I think it's a good update of the ordinance that we passed a couple of years ago.
Very good. Once again, I'll ask if there's any public comment on this.
I must have fell asleep for the most part.
Did you wish to speak, Mr. Phillips?
Sure.
Come on up.
Yeah, once again, I'm Mark Joseph Phillips, a Virginia City resident. Chairman McBride, is it my understanding you sit on the Story County Historic Committee?
I'm on the commission, yes.
Now, have these changes in that overlay been discussed or agendized in any of those meetings? I haven't really followed the agendas, but I'm wondering if that particular body has discussed these changes.
At the meetings that I've attended at the Historic Commission, no, they have not. There doesn't seem to be anything here that conflicts with the Historic Commission's jurisdiction.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
All right. That being said, I'm looking for a motion to approve item number 17, the first reading of ordinance number 15-268.
I would move to approve the first reading of ordinance number 15-268, zone text amendments. This is an ordinance amending Story County Code Title 17, zoning.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and second to approve item 17. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to number 18. This is discussion of possible action. This is a special use permit 2015-027 by Ronald Jensen. The applicant requests a boundary line adjustment between the two properties located at 21410 Sazerac Road and 2115 Conestoga Road, Virginia City Highlands, Story County, Nevada, APN 003-052-46 and 003-052-47.
Mr. Van Havel. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jason Van Havel for the record. The application, it was submitted by Ron and Carolyn Jensen and Tom and Aaron Ramey. They All four of them signed the application. Mr. Jensen is here available today to follow up with any questions. The landowners noticed that their fence, their propane tank, and some significant landscaping on their properties did not exactly follow their adjoining property line. So in a great example of community spirit, the landowners worked together to compromise, agreed to adjust their boundary line between their two properties to accommodate the infrastructure that was on the property properly, allocated to the correct landowner, and they have submitted this application to codify that agreement between the two. On page 4, you can see roughly what the new parcel map will look like after the boundary line adjustment. The line between the two adjoining properties is slightly S-shaped, slightly curved, when it was a straight line originally. The Planning Commission heard this case and recommends approval of this application. There was, to date, there's been no public comment for or against this application. And with that, staff recommends approval of this application.
Yeah. Both Commissioner McGuffey and myself both attended that Planning Commission meeting. The Planning Commission approved this. So I'm familiar with it. It's good to see where neighbors can get along and do something like this. Sometimes in Virginia City, it seems like there's a lawsuit involved. So. So. Commissioner McGuffey, you have comments on this?
Yeah, when I read this, I was at the, as you mentioned, I was at the Planning Commission meeting, so I'm well aware of it. The only problem I had with this agenda was that none of the neighbors were mentioned. And thank you for the agenda. And it's great to see the neighbors getting along great.
Commissioner Gilman?
No comments.
All right. Any public comment on this item?
I think we'll have to find the story again, sir.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Okay. Jason, would you like to read the findings for approval on this?
Absolutely. Okay. Findings for approval, section 5.1. 5.1.1. The boundary line adjustment complies with NRS 278.475 through 278.477 relating to the change in location of a boundary line, and 5.1.2, the boundary line adjustment complies with all federal, state, and county regulations pertaining to parcel maps, boundary line adjustments, and allowed land uses. And 5.1.3, the boundary line adjustment will not impose substantial adverse impacts or safety hazards on the abutting properties or the surrounding vicinity. And 5.1.4, the conditions of approval of this boundary line adjustment do not conflict with the minimum requirements in Story County Code Chapters 17.40, Estate Zone, or any other federal, state, or county regulations.
All right. Commissioners, at this time, looking for a motion for approval based on the findings that were set forth by Mr. Van Haven.
I'd move to approve the special use permit 2015-027 submitted by Ronald Jensen.
I'll second that motion.
All right. It's been moved and second to approve special use permit 2015-217 by Ronald Jensen. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Very good. Moving along now to item number 19, this is discussion of possible action. Special use permit 2028 by Jeffrey Rockstrom. The applicant is requesting a special use permit to conduct a business outside of a permanent building, i.e. operate a hot dog trailer in Virginia City. Jason? Okay. At that time, yes, Marshall McBride, Chairman of the Board. I operate a a saloon on C Street. I don't serve food, but I am a drinking establishment. And so I do have interest on what goes in commerce on the Main Street.
And I also have a disclosure that I have a business on the Main Street, and we are in the food business, although we don't specifically work with hot dog vending, and we are merchants on the C Street program.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Jason
Van Habel for the record. Jeffrey Rockstrom is the applicant, and he is here available today with some questions that I believe he would like to offer some comment in a moment. The applicant is the special use permit requests to operate a hot dog trailer at the V&T depot down on F Street during its hours of operation, and to operate along C Street. When this item was presented at the Planning Commission, the discussion panned out as the applicant is not interested in having just complete open access to operating on C Street. His interest was only to operate along C Street during special events. And so it was concluded at the Planning Commission meeting that for those types of activities, the applicant will work through the Tourism Commission for one of their permits to be able to operate during the special events. So he, at this point, is just asking for a permit to be able to operate his hot dog trailer at the V&T depot on F Street when they are operating. The Planning Commission, as they were deliberating that idea, they inquired if the applicant had written permission from the V&T to perform his operations at their facility. The applicant mentioned that he had verbal authorization but did not have it in writing. And I believe as of right now, the applicant does not have written permission from the V&T to operate at that location. If you'll notice on page 12 of the report is a schematic of the hot dog trailer that the applicant wishes to produce and will be the basis of his operation. And, of course, all appropriate state licensing as far as health licensing will be applicable to the trailer. There was some questioning at the Planning Commission whether of the safety aspects, both from the DMV and from the State Health Board, and the applicant was assured the Planning Commission that those items would be addressed as needed. There are a couple of public comments documented in the staff report of comments that came in before the Planning Commission meeting. The comments were generally against the idea. During the Planning Commission, there were approximately 15 comments from the public at the Planning Commission meeting. Most of those comments were against the application in its entirety, both for the operation along C Street and its operation at the V&T. A couple of the comments were neutral on the operation at the V&T, and then there was one public comment that was supportive of the activity to embrace the entrepreneurial activities at the V&T location and along C Street. But by and large, the public comments were against this special use permit. As the Planning Commission deliberated on this topic, they were seeking to get that written permission from the V&T to try to potentially approve a special use permit for the applicant to operate at the V&T. When they realized that the applicant did not have written permission that they could show to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission took a vote to continue the item, and that vote was denied. So then the Planning Commission had a motion and took a vote towards denying the special use permit, and that motion passed 5-2 to recommend the denial of this special use permit, and staff's recommendation for this special use permit, again, is for denial as well. With that, if you have any comments, or I can bring the applicant up, he would like to say a couple words.
Commissioner McGuffey?
I was at that planning commission meeting, and there was several local vendors that were there in opposition. And then there was one that was supportive of an entrepreneurial attempt to do something, and I recognize both sides of the fence. One of the issues is, of course, he doesn't have a written or statement from Mr. Gray from the B&T station there. But at the same time, he is allowed to get a permit from the BCTC to operate for special events. One thing that was a little bit unclear, are they restricted to the center of town, or can he go up and down the street and park wherever he wants, kind of thing? That might be an issue. I don't know what the rules of engagement with that are. Would you have to know? I don't know.
I'm certainly not the authority on that, but it's my understanding that associated with the special events, that the Tourism Commission identifies locations that the vendors can't operate.
Yeah.
And so they're restricted in that respect.
And that is,
you wouldn't want him to park it in front of a restaurant. Kind of
that is correct. I can attest to that, working with Denny on special event permitting.
Yeah. Thank you.
Commissioner Gilman?
Where is the stand set up on C Street? Special events, we sometimes move out on the street and there are booths, and so you can do your vending from on the street itself. And we get permits for that, I assume, from NDOT because it's a state highway. So what's the plan for locating something along these lines, other than a special event?
If I may attempt to address that, and I'll probably defer to Jason on the very last part of your question, other than to say it's the Planning Commission and staff recommendation to deny, so there would be no provision other than special events. We'd be limited to special events in this case, assuming denial. To answer your question as to how we locate during special events, they are site-specific, as Commissioner McGuffey asked, and there is great attention to detail to make sure we don't knowingly put a pizza vendor directly in front of the Red Dog, or you know, whatever else we may have out there. We try really hard. I'll cite you a classic example. The folks at Hot August Nights, again, stellar to work with. I believe there was only one food vendor, and that was JP from Pinocchio's. He vended in the bucket lot, and that was done to calculate the capacity levels of our existing restaurants to handle the crowds, as opposed to overflow during, say, street vibrations and those types of things. So we try really hard to go site-specific, to get target in on your, sometimes we allow them out in the roads. I will state NDOT has been very gracious with us in allowing us to permit that and not make it a big bureaucracy. The safety barriers are a requirement. Tourism has a very minor event fee if they wish to park in a fog inside the fog line, you know, keeping in mind in a parking space, if you will. Keeping in mind parking spaces are a valuable commodity in this town, so we don't do it lightly, but we charge a minor fee mostly to recapture the expense of the barriers. We had to purchase those outright several years ago, so those are an added fee on top of the special event permit.
I certainly see the use during special events as being compatible, but but I have a bit of a problem with non-special events when it's a street vendor situation. C Street is so convoluted anyway. We have a problem parking a donkey in many cases. So generally, I see it more of as a special use event than a general use.
I know staff would certainly agree with that. I will tell you, because you bring up a very interesting point, Commissioner Gilman, and that is, you know, we do have a few mobile vendors right now, but they're very unique, specifically Stinky and the Donkey. Also, to some degree, the Cowboys, you know, the gunfighters, if you will. And one comes to mind occasionally is we have an individual that brings in exotic birds and exhibits those out there. There's nothing competitive in that nature. I mean, there's nothing that we have here. So I think that's, again, kind of the nature of getting back to where we site our special events. We would not, for instance, I know the Ponderosa, you know, is a vendor of hot dogs. I believe Mark Twain is, and there are a number of others. I'm not a hot dog connoisseur, so I can't tell you where we can get them and where you can't. But we would just be very attentive to not citing this type of operation directly across or adjacent to another one. And oftentimes, I might add, back to those outside the barrier occupancies, most times, as a matter of fact, those are generally existing businesses, including the ones I've mentioned, the Pondo and the Mark Twain and others, that wish to extend their own footprint for their brick-and-mortar buildings that they have and also vend, you know, during the special events. And they pay that same price. I think it's $25 for the barrier rental.
Anything else?
In terms of trying to address your question outside of the special events, under the recommended conditions of approval, so if there would be some type of approval moving forward on this application, one of the recommended conditions were that along C Street that the business not operate within the public right-of-way, which is, of course, the street itself and the boardwalk as part of the public right-of-way that needs to remain open for its transportation purposes, so that at that point they would need to operate on private land and, again, would need the permission of that potential landowner to operate on their land.
I personally like mobile vending.
Do the landowners have to have a permit then?
I would answer that relative to special events, no. What we require would be, and let's use the V&T as a special event. Let's say they've got a huge event coming for whatever reason, and this applicant or others would wish to vend food down there. As long as they have a special event permit obtainable for a minor fee and also written permission from the landowner, that's sufficient for us.
We'll give it a second until it winds down. I was going to comment on this. I like mobile vending for special events. As Mr. Jensen testified before the Planning Commission, it's called a hot dog cart, but he was going to do things more specialized, a sausage and maybe, I don't know, kielbasa or something else like that, or Polish. But one example is on special events where we have the guy who's got, it looks like an old Model T, and inside the Model T, he's got a griddle and stuff set up in there to go ahead and heat up his hot dogs and stuff like that. So it's very unique, and I think it's appropriate for special events. And I was listening to the merchants who testified before the Planning Commission. Some of them didn't seem to think that we even needed outside vendors for special events because they never ran out of anything. But I tend to disagree with them a little bit because we need more variety. And when we have huge crowds of thousands of people, we know that our local restaurants can't accommodate everybody. With that being said, though, the other testimony was given by property owners and businessmen is I'm sympathetic to them, to their needs, is that they own bricks and mortars. They pay insurance, they pay property taxes, and they pay mortgages on these buildings on a year-round basis. They employ personnel, and so they're responsible for the livelihood of those individuals. So I can see where
where they have a little bit of heartburn of somebody who wants to come in only on maybe busy weekends or holidays and take the cream off the top, where they don't really have the overhead where everybody else does. So, as I'm not opposed to anything like this for special events, I would be opposed of just setting up street vending like they do in New York City, because I think it would take away from the existing businesses and without maybe bringing anything maybe to the party, so to speak. With that being said, Mr. Jensen, you're welcome to come up and sit at the podium. And
Jeffrey Rockstrom.
Oh, Rockstrom, I'm sorry. I got you mixed up with the last guy. My apologies. Mr. Jensen over here. Mr. Rockstrom.
Rockstrom, yes, sir.
So, Jeffrey.
It's okay. I've been called a lot of things in my career in the Army and doing other stuff for the government. As long as you don't call me late for dinner, I'm usually good.
There you go.
So, my comment to this is everybody's stuck on the C Street part of this, and I never really asked to work out C Street except during special events, as written in my original application, which I can do anyway. I can work on C Street. I can go up and get a special use permit. My original request is to work at the V&T, on the V&T property, which Tom Gray said he's not going to put it in writing. He gave me verbal permission. This is Tom's words as of yesterday. He gave me verbal permission to work on his property, and that's all I need. So I'm kind of stuck in that. But I had no desire to run around on C Street, and no desire to push my cart up and down that hill, for one thing, because I'm getting old, and that's a pretty steep hill after a while. As I said at the planning meeting, I've been coming up here for multitudes of years. I bring my family, I bring my extended family, and as my kids keep having more kids and driving me nuts, because that just means I'm getting older, we come up here and we participate in Virginia City all the time. I live in Mark Twain. I am a resident of this county. My hot dog cart will pay taxes. I still have to carry insurance. I still have to have licensing. I still have all the issues that a brick and mortar has. I still have to go through all the health inspections. I still have to drive that thing up and down the hill every day. So those concerns, I understand a brick and mortar. I wish I could get into a brick and mortar, but at this point I'm not in that position. This is my retirement, as I would say. This is what I've wanted to do, and I've been thinking about this at least for the last 5 years, coming out of Washington, D.C., and traveling around the world. I just got tired. I wanted to come home, put this to work, and this is kind of like my retirement business. At the V&T, I want to work 7 days a week while the railroad's open. That's something that we have always noticed, that there's not anything down there when you get off the train, when you get on the train. At the planning meeting, there were concerns that, I sell hot dogs. Well, 7 people sell hot dogs in town. So competition should never be arisen to deny another business to come in. Although mine is not, I'm not selling hot dogs. I'm not selling the jumbo 1-pound beef dogs. I'm not going to be selling the Polish sausages. I am going in a different direction. As for sitting at the V&T, if you want this cart to look like a stagecoach, I'll make it look like a stagecoach, because I have that capability, because I'm building the cart myself and having it inspected through the health department. Pretty much that's all I got to say. This is something that I've been planning for about 5 years, wanted to do. I'm just tired of the hustle and bustle. I spent 23 years in the military traveling around the world. My last 11 years I worked counterterrorism and anti-terrorism in the Washington, D.C. area at Fort Meade, and I'm just kind of tired and want to relax.
If you were to work within the confines of the depot down there with Tom Gray, you wouldn't even need a special use permit. You just need a business license to operate.
I actually asked that, and I was told that I needed this permit. That's why I'm here.
If you were going to operate your whatever type of dogs you were going to sell within the depot, you just need a business license.
In the depot, but this is a cart outside the depot.
Right.
The kitchen inside the depot is not approved for use.
Have you built the cart yet?
It's about 80% done.
You just have to put the facade on it and give it some identity?
Yep. Say again, sir?
Well, you're going to put a facade on it and give it some identity?
Yes, sir.
So you're a resident down in our Mark Twain community?
Yes, sir.
Nice to have you up.
I live in the flood zone.
Other than the flood zone, yeah. Well, you escaped that, you've been fortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have you up this way. Thank you for that. So, following up a little bit, Marshall, on the idea for his cart at the V&T rail site, with Mr. Gray is going to allow that. That seems to be a reasonable use down there, in my opinion.
Except for the fact that we don't have anything in writing.
So we could get something in writing, I suspect. Yes, sir?
Well,
Tom said no. Tom said he gave me his verbal approval, and that's what he's going to give me. So
we probably need something along those lines to take a step that direction. But if he were of a mind to have you hosted down there at the B&T, then certainly that would go a long ways toward our being able to arrange something here at this.
Understand. I asked him yesterday if he would do that, and he said no. So he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard spot on that. He said his verbal word was what he's going to give me.
I think we as a board, we need more. I'm not going to say that Jeffrey's not telling us the truth, but for him to tell us that somebody else told him something only makes it hearsay. So we need something in writing before we could even act on this. Plus, if you wanted to vote in favor of this, you're going to go against the recommendations of your planning commission.
Sure.
Which they've recommended a denial on this for all the reasons stated.
You know, if I may chime in, not as a commissioner, of course, but as staff, to Mr. Rockstrom, you know, if you're denied, come talk to me, not necessarily about Virginia City, and I admire the fact that you live in Mark Twain, appreciate that, and appreciate your service, but would also tell you that in now less than 3 years, it's only going to be a hop, skip, and a jump from Mark Twain into the industrial park.
I have that understanding.
And we
sir.
Are starving out there for food trucks, carts. Austin can get you probably sited into 10 different locations, not on the Tesla pad, where these businesses are crying out for quality food service, and that's without special use permit.
I have discussed that with them also. Part of that is the distance. To tow a cart, you know, 60 miles every day round trip is it's kind of a, you know, I would have to be raising my prices to pay for gasoline just to get out there every day.
That should hopefully cut in half almost for the USA.
When the parkway gets through, I understand that, but we're what, 3 years down the road?
December 2017, so little.
I'll be pretty skinny by that time if I don't.
I think you'd be surprised by the volume you'd get out there.
I have looked at that, and I've. As I told the planning board, the V&T was my first step. You know, I have a long-term plan, but also after spending 23 years in the Army and working counterterrorism and anti-terrorism, you kind of take care of one problem at a time, and I'm trying to keep my scope creep out of this thing because you can get very carried away. I could build 10 carts next week and probably get 10 people working, but that's not going to help me at this point. I have to get this thing down, set, and get the whole business up and running in the correct manner, and not just throw something out there and be like this crazy guy running around doing stuff like that. So I do want to keep it, you know, one cart at a time, and as it grows, and then I can be ready for that and get more folks working in the business. And I do understand the
USA
part.
We're actually trying to help you.
I understand, sir.
Because it doesn't look good with what you've got now, because you don't have
the
written permission. So you're kind of stuck. And so
sure.
We're trying to help point you somewhere else that might
sure.
Work.
Absolutely, and I'm more than willing, and I've totally discussed the USA Parkway piece with the staff. And I'm not adverse to doing that at all.
No. I like the idea. It'd be great if I knew you were set up somewhere. I'd swing by and grab a dog.
Sure.
And health department has, and we don't permit from health, that's state, but health department has, I believe, two different sets of criteria. One, if it's on private property, within the confines, say, of a business, not necessarily located inside, but similar to what you're proposing with Mr. Gray here. You might be able to seek, again, with Austin's help specifically, and Jason's, on-site storage of the unit itself, so you don't have to cart it back and forth, so to speak.
That would be a super plus. Just
and again, we can try to work with you and try to find
because
something.
My goal is I'm a pretty reasonable guy, and one thing I always hate is when I go to tourist areas or places like that, you know, I got paid $12 for a hot dog that cost a guy, you know, 50 cents a quarter. So those are things that I want to do, and I want to. My main goal is to work in Story County because this is I chose this county in 1984 after my first tour of service. And this is where I came and decided this is where I was going to finish up, so to speak. And my dad lived here for roughly 30-plus years or so after he retired.
Well, I think you'll find this board has an appetite to help you, but I think we're probably up against a hard place here with the special use permit filing. But that's probably not the end of the road.
And, no, I don't take that as the end of the road. I understand working with Tom. You know, I've done some other work with him. My brother works with him. And we understand he's a unique individual, I should say. And I like working with him.
I'm sure there's some other options.
Absolutely.
And we would help you out at TRI.
Sounds good. So I appreciate you taking my time to hear me out and hear my story.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Unless I have any objections to fellow commissioners, I'm going to ask Jason to go ahead and read the findings for motion for denial.
That's proper.
Okay. Jason Manhale for the record. Under the staff report, section 5.2.1, substantial evidence shows that the special use permit may conflict with the purpose, intent, and other specific requirements of Story County Code 17.30, commercial residential zone, 17.12, general provisions, or chapter 17.03.150, special use permit, or other federal, state, or county regulations. 5.2.2, the conditions under the special use permit do not adequately mitigate potential adverse impacts on the surrounding uses or protect against potential safety hazards for the public and the surrounding uses.
Ready for public comment. Thank you, Lynn. Okay, before we continue on, I don't take any public comment on this. You're the last one standing, Mark. Nothing? Okay. So, that being said, I'm going to look for motion, commissioners, based on the findings just read by Mr. Benhabel.
I'd make the motion to deny special use permit 2015-208 submitted by Jeffrey Rockstrom.
I'll second that motion.
Move to second to deny the special use permit. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion carries. Okay, so if you get something in writing, you know, bring it back to planning.
Yes,
sir. And other than that, you can talk to Commissioner Gilman at a later date, too, about TRI, things like that. All right, moving along now to item number 20. This is for possible action, licensing board second readings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Dean Haymore and Community Development, we are recommending continuance of B, D, and E, that is Buy Nutraceuticals, Inc., AZ Truck Marine and RV, and Rich Doss, Inc., to be continued.
Commissioners, it's been moved. Any motion to continue items B, D, and E?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that motion.
We move to second to continue items B, D, and E under item under number 20. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries.
And Community Development is proud to recommend approval of items A and C appearing on your agenda. Those are Solar United Network, Unique and Unique Building Group, both to be approved for licensing in Story County.
Very good. Very good, Commissioners. Motion to approve A and C.
Also move.
I'll second the motion to approve A and C.
Okay, it's been moved to second to approve items A and C and item number 20. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion carries. Moving along now to item number 21, public comment. Mr. Phillips, come on down.
Excuse me, Mark Joseph Phillips, public comment. Commissioners, in regards to the first reading of ordinance number 15-268, specifically 17.48, the historic overlay district, upon further review, I see that that whole section has been deleted. So by the time second reading comes along, I think it would be more accurate to the public to specify that 17.48 historic overlay district is being deleted altogether. Now, I don't know what the reason for this is, but boy, I looked at it. There's a line through everything. I don't know if that chapter of NRS has been deleted in the last section, but I'm definitely concerned that the historic district has been deleted. So before then, I'll get something in writing. I'll file it with the clerk, but it'd be a real concern of mine if the historic overlay district has been delete it altogether. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I will, I think Mr. Morris is going to make specific comment, but I will also share Mr. Phillips' comments with Austin.
I was going to say that I noticed that as well, but there's a section, and I briefly looked through the rest, and I couldn't find it, but he has moved most of the text into another section. So they're not actually being deleted. They've been moved to another point. And if I have a little bit of time, I'll show you where they are.
And that's often the case, you know, with
a lot of things
these,
have been changed. Yeah. A lot of things right now just say pursuant to an NRS, so you don't have to have all this lengthy text that just duplicates whatever's
right
already there.
And I did notice that there were the specific requirements in that section that were put into another section for the historical district.
Right.
So
yeah, and all of those had been followed up on each of the workshops during the Planning Commission meetings. So, yeah. Any other public comment? Hearing none, meeting is adjourned.